Good morning. So, we're going to start with prayer. If I'm going to get through this, we're going to start with prayer. So, let's pray. Father, we just praise you this morning. We praise you for being here with us. We praise you for bringing us together. We worship you, and we just want this all to be for your glory and for your honor. Lord, I just pray that the words I speak be the words that you have me to speak, but the words that they hear are the ones that you have them to hear. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, several of the other men on the preaching team have shared about the privilege that it is to have the opportunity to preach God's word. And I totally agree. I also totally agree that getting up front here can be very nerve-wracking. And I get nervous every time I get in front of the crowd and people say they don't believe that. They've heard me tell different stories. But that's because I usually don't just freeze. I start talking. Talking and telling stories is my way to calm my nerves. And so that's usually what happens with me. And the way I feel right now, we could be talking a long time. Some time ago, one of the other members of the preaching team said to me that I should ask my spouse what she thought of my sermon and that I need to listen to her, for she knows me best. He said for him it was difficult to keep quiet and to try not to defend his actions. And after a Wednesday night sermon, which she wasn't able to attend, I thought everything went very well, went okay. And good friends kind of encouraged me with that as well. But then the following Sunday, we went camping with our grandchildren, and their parents came too. But we went camping, and I decided to use that same sermon for our family worship together. I went through it a little more quickly than I had the previous Wednesday, kind of used that as my excuse. But I asked my wife what she thought of it, and she said that I wasn't being myself. And I was puzzled by that, because I know that I often tell stories, and I had done that. And my defense mechanism, which wasn't supposed to come into play, was to say that, you know, I didn't put the emotion into it that second time with the family as I would have that Wednesday night that I had done previously. And I thought about it a lot. And what she said to me didn't really come to light until I started preparing for this sermon. And I realized, she said that I was kind of following what I was taught. And there's truth in that. But I realized in preparing this sermon that, you know, I can get to the same conclusion, but with the Lord's help, do it in Dennis's way. And so once I started doing that, the words came much easier for me. So that's a quick way of saying, or a long way of saying, that she was right. But anyways, and also I thought about it, and I said, well, I don't think the preaching team or Pastor Stephen will yank me off the stage as long as I'm preaching God's word, regardless how I get there. So we'll be okay. The bulletin has a lot of blanks in it. It's not because I was unprepared. It was intentional, and we'll see how that flows throughout this morning. I do have a title, though, More Than a Most Awesome Angel. I know the bulletin says the most awesome angel, but my title I should have presented to them was, it's more than the most awesome angel. And I will give you point number one, the magnificent angels. But I'm not going to read the biblical reference at this time. It's listed in the bulletin. Please, no peeking. It will confuse you with the way I start to share. And we will read our passage together later in the sermon. Also, since there aren't any additional points listed, you'll have to write my second point when it's provided. And I'll share that after we do the reading, which is later. Note, we are going to hear a lot of scripture today. When I was preparing this, it just seemed best for me when I tried to put things in my own words that we will read the scripture. And there's a lot, and you'll understand why as we go through that. So, angels. I got a note in here. I let you guys know this because I had this habit of saying, So throughout this thing, I got notes for myself. No ums. So I'll try to follow that. But if it comes out, it comes out. But we'll get through it. So when you hear someone speak of an angel, what comes to your mind? For some, and probably for many, they think of a chubby human-like baby with wings, or a full-grown human, male or female, without the chubby part, wearing a white flowing robe and having wings. But the biblical reality, we see that angels are vastly different. Angels are a magnificent being with an immense power and divine beauty and majestic, and their unwavering devotion to God. The word angel comes from the Greek word meaning messenger. These messengers are far from ordinary. They are heavenly hosts, mighty warriors, and attendants to our King of Kings. We're going to go and look at who they are, what they do, and what their existence teaches us. So before we start, I don't want to lead you down the path of wishing that you were an angel, but for you to marvel at their purpose. Note that it's better to be a human sinner than to be an angel. Story time. An angel and a human were once discussing their respective roles in God's creation. The human was boasting about how amazing it is to fall short, be humbled, and then experience the overwhelming grace and mercy of the Lord. The angel looked a bit confused and said, "Your story sounds nice, but in heaven, we just don't sin. It appears humans lack some abilities." The human smiled and replied, "That shows that you lack the best ability of all. You must fly around singing, 'Holy, holy, holy,' all day without ever getting to sing 'Amazing Grace.'" Everything that I'm going to share about angels, I ask that you keep in mind that Christ died for us, the human race. Angels are created beings. Unlike God, who has no beginning and no end, God created them, likely before the foundations of the earth. We can read in Job 38, where our Lord speaks about laying the earth's foundations, saying, "Where the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy." Angels were with God in heaven when the earth was created. Scripture gives us a glimpse of these created beings. They are described as light, fire, wind, and an overwhelming glory. I'm going to be referencing and reading several descriptive passages on these amazing creatures. Hopefully, it won't put you to sleep. But when an angel appears to a human, the very first thing they almost always had to say, we see it in Daniel 10, Luke 1:13, Luke 1:30, Luke 2:10, Matthew 28. The angel would say, "Do not be afraid," or the famous, "Fear not." Except for Balaam's donkey, Numbers 22, who turned in fear twice and dropped to the ground the third time, all because of fear. And Cornelius stood in fear in Acts 10. Why would this donkey turn in fear? Why would the angel say, "Do not be afraid"? Because these staggering, fearsome, radiant, majestic, powerful, created beings looked frightening, not chubby little babies. Genesis 3:24, we see that God placed cherubim with a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, we don't know the answer to this question as to what the population was at the time of the flood. but an average estimate has been said to be around 10 billion. 10 billion. And let's say their estimate's a little bit high, like 75% high. Let's go with 2.5 billion. If 2.5 billion people could not or would not fight their way past the unknown cherubim to get to the tree of life, angels are superior to humans. The most, if any one of David's mighty men struck down in a single encounter was an unimaginable, impressive 800 men. We see that in 2 Samuel. In comparison, we see in 2 Kings, where one angel struck down 185,000 Assyrians in one night. It shows the strength and the majestics of the angels. Stay with me as I start reading many passages about who these angels are. Matthew 28, 2 and 4. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And for the fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Isaiah 6. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Daniel 10. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his word like the sound of a multitude. And now the cherubim. Here we go. Here's the long one. This is ready. Are we ready? Ezekiel 1, 4 through 24. As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually, and in the midst of the fire, as it was gleaming metal, and from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had a human likeness, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings and on their four sides, they had human hands. And on the four had their faces with their wings. And the four had their faces and their wings. Thus their wings touched one another. Each one of them went straight forward without turning as they went. As for the likeness of their face, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side. The four had the face of an ox on the left side. And the four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. And their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wing of another. While two covered their bodies, and each went straight forward, wherever the spirit would go, they went, without turning as they went. As for the likeness of living creatures, their appearance was like the burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures darted to and fro, like the appearances of flashes of lightning. Now as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of the wheel and their construction, They appeared to be like gleaming beryl, and the four had the same likeness, their appearance and construction being as if it were a wheel within a wheel. When they went in any of the four directions without turning as they went. And their rims were tall and awesome, and the rims of all four were full of eyes all around. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went, and the wheels rose along with them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those rose from the earth, the wheels all along with them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Over the heads of the living creatures, there was a likeness of an expanse, shining like awesome crystal, spreading out above their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretching out straight, one towards another. And each creature had two wings covering its body. And when they went, I heard the sounds of their wings like the sounds of many waters, like the sounds of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. When they stood still, they let down their wings. I am truly impressed on how these writers were able to record such a magnificent description of the angels that they have seen. If it was me, I would have said something like, I saw a magnificent, indescribable creature. It was awesome. Wish you could have seen it. That would have been it. Anyways, as we said earlier, angels are God's messengers, but their knowledge is limited. They do not know all the things that God knows. Matthew 24 states, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven. Their purpose, and I could supply many scripture verses, but their purpose is to praise God. Psalms 148, praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his hosts. They worship God, Revelations 5. They rejoice in what God does, Job 38. They appear before God. They are instruments of God's judgment, such as the angel that struck down Herod in Acts 12. They serve God, Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Again in Revelations, John falls down to worship the angel. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And 2 weeks ago, Pastor Stephen was preaching in Acts chapter 12, where the angel brings answers to prayer. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. He got up, he got dressed, and he walked out with the angel. Angels also aid in winning people to Christ. Acts 8, we see that the angel helped Philip reach Cornelius. They are encouragements in time of danger. Acts 27, for this very night there stood before me an angel of the God of whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who have sailed with you. They care for the righteous of the time of death. Luke 16. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. That's a lot of information on what God created angels to do. But angels are entirely a different order of God's creation. Note that human beings do not become angels after they die, and angels will never become and never were human beings. God created the angels just as he created humanity. And God created humans in his image and likeness, as seen in Genesis 1. Angels are spiritual beings, and the greatest thing that we can learn from the holy angel is their instant, unquestioning obedience to God's commands. Hopefully you have a little bit better understanding of how these created angels are. And we're now going to dig into the heart of today's message. The main idea of the message is Jesus Christ is superior. Jesus Christ is superior. And for point number two, Christ is the most magnificent and always the same, S-A-M-E. I have those letters written in bulletin. S stands for Superior, Son of God, Savior. A, the Alpha and Omega, Almighty God. M, Messiah and Mediator. And E, Eternal Emmanuel, which is God with us. These words I just listed under S-A-M-E, you'll be hearing all those throughout the rest of the message and see how they tie in. So, if you would, if you're able, would you please stand for the reading of today's scripture, Hebrews 1, 4 through 14. I'll be reading in the ESV. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, You are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, Let all angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like garment, like a robe that you will roll them up, like a garment they may be changed. But you are the same, and your years have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, Sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? You may be seated. As we look at this, it has been my prayer that I can give you a true understanding of what these verses are communicating. That Christ is far superior than all of God's creations, even the angels. Since this is being directed to the Jews, these verses are quoted from the Old Testament scripture. As we look at each verse, I'll provide you with those references just for your information. So verse 4, having become much superior to angels as the name he has inherited, is more excellent than theirs, referencing Deuteronomy 33. We just spent time looking at the angels that God had created. Time for another story. This one's about me. This one I don't know if anybody has heard before. As a young boy, I often would have this repeated dream about flying above everyone and looking down at those people who were in trouble. And I would fly down and take out the bully. I felt it would be great and awesome to be like an angel. They could do anything. Of course, at that time, I hadn't known Jesus. The Jewish people also looked to angels as exalted beings. The angels were on Mount Sinai as the mediator between God and Moses. This is seen in Acts chapter 7, verses 38 and verse 53. The angels were part of the law and the promise given by Yahweh. Because of the new belief in Jesus that the Jews were being persecuted, so they wanted to go back to Judaism. Guess they hadn't heard Wendy lead us, and I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. But they wanted to escape the persecution by saying things like that Jesus was a great teacher who went astray, or he was a false prophet. After all, he died. Believing in the power of angels that had carried them for thousands of years without much persecution, dismissing Jesus' significance provided a safety net. What about us? Do we dismiss what Christ has done for us at work, the grocery store, on the streets, just because we believe it provides a practical safety benefit? Shame on us, every one of us, myself included. Jesus is much superior. He's the Son of God. He's our Savior. As the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? Referencing Psalms 2. It clearly points to the Son is superior than all creation, that only he has been given the title of the Son, and that God states that he is his father. This makes a unique divine relationship. John 10, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." It was clear then, and it's clear today, that this is a claim of deity, equality with God. No angel has ever been called the Son of God. Jesus is superior over the magnificent creation of the angels that we've read about. Verse 6. And again, he brings the firstborn into the world. He says, "Let all God's angels worship him," referencing Deuteronomy 32. Note that in the Dead Sea Scrolls, it showed the Old Testament reference to refer to God as Yahweh. It is here applied to Jesus Christ, thereby giving clear indication of his full deity, fully God, the Almighty God. Verse 7. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire, referencing Psalms 104. Winds and fire are natural elements that are creations of God. The wind and the fire are fast and powerful, and they go where God tells them to go. The angels, being called winds and fire, are only messengers that go where God tells them to go. Verse 8 and 9, but of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." He's the Alpha and the Omega. "The scepter of uprighteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." Referencing Psalms 45. "Your throne, O God." Here we see Christ being addressed as both King and God. Again, we see Jesus' superiority over the created angels. As he shares the eternal divine nature, Jesus is fair and governed with complete honesty and moral perfection. Jesus on earth chose good and rejected evil. His faithful obedience, even at the cross, placed him beside God as the Messiah. Above all others, Jesus is at the throne as our mediator. Verses 10, 11, and 12. And you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. Referencing Psalms 102. As we see in verse 6, Jesus is again here referred to as Yahweh, God himself. Yahweh is constant, always was and always will be. As believers, we can find a stable hope during personal trials. Jesus is eternal. I have been blessed in many ways. And one of those is that my children will come to me and ask for advice about how to do something. They want my opinion. Or they want me to look at a rash or a sliver or I hit my head again. I cherish that. But I won't always be here. I'm not eternal on earth. I don't know everything. But we serve one who knows everything that is eternal. Trust Jesus. Trust God as the ultimate Father. He will always be there for you. Verse 13. And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Referencing Psalms 110. Jesus sits at the right hand of God, and his enemies are like an unmovable piece of furniture held down by his feet, his control. No one else has that power, that ability. Even angels require guidance and directions as a messenger. Jesus Christ is superior above all. Our final verse, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? The angels minister to those that inherit salvation, which only comes from Christ. Angels cannot provide any salvation, nor do they even know the hearts of each human being. We've examined the magnificent power and ability of the angel, who God uses to protect, provide healing, guidance, and deliver his messages. We see in Hebrews where angels are subordinate, created servants who exist to worship Jesus and minister to believers. Our passage establishes a strict hierarchy, placing the angels differently below the divine, eternal Son of God. For the believers here, we must ask yourselves, is God always superior in my life? Do you put him above all else? Or do you find that you readjust Jesus' superiority because you want to escape the self-inflicted fear of persecution by not sharing who Jesus is in your life? You might think it's unreasonable to think that angels are more important than Jesus. Yet we find ourselves putting less significant items above Christ in our lives. Search your hearts. Seek forgiveness if needed. It's easy to look for hope in the wrong places. Do you find yourself drifting backwards? The believers reading the original letter were tempted to drift backwards, looking to angels and old traditions for comfort. Don't miss that Christ, our King, Emmanuel, God with us, is standing right in front of you. As a child, I thought if I was like an angel, I could save others from harm. But a human, or even one thinking he's an angel, can't even save himself. Only the Son of God, Jesus Christ, could save me, and only he can save you. Angels are powerful messengers that look at the brokenness of your life and just wait for orders. Jesus looks at the brokenness, step down from his throne and offers to heal you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? As Wendy and the praise team prepare to lead us in our last song, I ask that you focus on Christ, and that he and he alone is superior over everything. It doesn't matter who you are or what your situation is. It doesn't matter what you've done or haven't done. It doesn't matter if you have a high position with power like angels, the angels who never fully understood God's amazing grace. Jesus Christ sits at God's right hand. Jesus Christ is superior over everything. Jesus Christ knows that we are all born sinners and therefore separate from God. Jesus Christ knows that it's impossible for us to reach him, because nothing we do will ever be good enough. That is why he left his throne, to bridge the gap that he knows we can never cross on our own, to come to earth to take our sins away. He died willingly on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins, and he now waits for you to accept the free gift. There will be pastors up front, and I'll be in the back. As the praise team leads us on our last song, don't just sit back in your seat ignoring the call with fear of what might happen if you come forward. Fear what will happen if you don't.